make sure everything's functioning and recording. Okay, how about we? Oh, it didn't come through. It came through. Oh no, it came through. It didn't came through gibberish. I don't know why, Lisa.
I'll send it one more time because I really want you to have it.
Is it Word 2007? I wonder if that's why.
No, it says Doplet actually.
All right, try one more time.
Okay, real quick, I'll send it off.
Okay.
Okay. You should have it in a second.
It's this computer. Sorry, everyone. Thanks for being patient. Here we go. I think this one's going to work. Voila! Two the term instead of three. okay, let's get started. I'm so excited that we've got Lisa Lockwood on the line. Mainly, if you don't mind me bragging about you just a little bit, we have become friends, and I'm learning so much from her, and she's such a dynamic, remarkable woman. She's someone that you're always in awe with. It, no matter what goal she sets, and when you read her book, it's living proof that no matter what goal she sets, she goes for it. And it doesn't matter what obstacles she has to overcome, she finds a solution to go after what she wants. And I think that is so big and so honorable.
Thank you.
So many people just give up along the way. You know, they're going for their success, and when something gets hard. And the unique thing about Lisa is that she finds the creative path to get there. She finds, well, if you're going up against walls, she might find a little dirt path to go around the wall, and she finds it, and she goes and gets it, and I love that. That's so wonderful. And to give everyone an idea of who you are, Lisa Lockwood is a speaker, author of her becoming nationally recognized book, Undercover Angel, and she's a reinvention expert, and she's now dedicating her life to teaching people about reinvention and how to go after and get all that you want in life. And to go into a bit of her past of these goals that I'm talking about, she is has done everything under the sun. She's a decorated soldier in Desert Storm, a police officer, undercover narcotics detective, and this one I love. She was the first female SWAT team member on her department's team. And she talks about this in her book, and it just goes into story after story of the wonderful adventure and the experiences that she had. And she now dedicates her life to teaching those success principles that help people reinvent themselves and go after something that they really want to do. So that's a bit of an introduction to Lisa. So Lisa, thank you so much for being on the call.
Thank you so much for having me, Carolyn. I feel humbled. I mean, I think I look at you as this incredible superwoman who is constantly thinking of ways to share ideas with people in order to better themselves, bringing these incredible people together who have had successes in all different areas of their lives and sharing it month after month. I mean, really, you've tapped into something amazing, and I'm proud of you for doing what you do.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. I really appreciate that. And tonight, I love the topic that Lisa's going to talk about. She's going to talk about the 10 tips to get what you deserve. And I think that's an important word, what you deserve, because everybody listening, you do deserve it. Whatever you want in life, you do deserve it.
Absolutely.
So with that being said, why don't I give you the floor and we will get going.
Okay.
Oh, well, actually, I wanted to tell you a little tidbit. Sorry to interrupt.
Okay.
I was going to say to you that these excited people came in and questions are already coming in. And there was a couple that did come in. Obviously, you're very intriguing to some of these listeners out there, because whatever emails reached them to announce this Reto seminar tonight, some people are real excited, but some of them are saying, well, what is reinvention? How does one accomplish it? Thanks. And maybe you can add to what you do before we get into the 10 tips and exactly what reinvention is.
Absolutely. Reinvention, basically, it's a fancy title for transformation or change. doing something that you've never done before. We reinvent ourselves when we reach different stages in our lives, going from a child to adolescence to puberty. And it's basically just being in the moment and experiencing those things and embracing the change, being ready for it, creating it. Some things we change or we shift or transform that are out of our control, and many ways we're able to do it at cause. And that's one of the things that I advocate, is teaching people to cause their reinvention versus living at effect from it.
And I love that so much, because the latest statistics are so mind-boggling as to how many people actually don't like their job or don't like what they do.
Exactly. Exactly. And one of the things that I shared in my last teleseminar, which is also available free on my website, is it doesn't matter so much that you go to high school, you go to college, and you pursue something, and then all of a sudden you feel like, I've done that. I invested the time and energy in doing it, and, you know, what would it look like if I shifted or changed careers? And it's only the belief, the story that you tell yourself, that's preventing you from doing it. People on the outside are not looking at your life and saying, wow, she went to college for that, and now she's not even doing that career anymore. And like I said, what people don't realize is that you're changing your careers anywhere between 7 to 12 times in your life. So it is the natural thing to do that, to transform and to move on into different things and pursuing different dreams.
Yeah, that is so true. And the numbers of changing careers seems to be going up every year. And maybe it's that people are starting to wake up to what their gifts are and what they really want to do and just experience life, which I think is so wonderful.
Exactly. More and more entrepreneurs are being born. People are giving up the idea of, I need to stay with a job and put in my 20 and my 30 years, and realizing that it is okay to develop something on your own and go into business for yourself. And I think that's going to be the start of something new, especially with the economy that it is today. More and more people are being questioned about, so now what? You know, there's downsizing. People are losing their jobs. And that's when, you know, the greatest births are people reinventing themselves as their own person and really pursuing something that they want for themselves.
I think that is so great. Well, what you'll be discussing, the 10 tips to get what you deserve, Lisa will be sharing with us today, have been published in this month in the National Police Magazine and many online personal power websites. So, Lisa, why don't we get started with these 10 tips?
Sure. Before I share my tips, one of the things that I like to do is ask a few questions, and these are for the listeners just to think about. Are you someone who has it all right now? Are you doing exactly what you love? Do you have outstanding personal relationships? Do you have super...
Sorry, Lisa, I actually just muted out everybody because I heard a little bit of stuff in the background. So everyone, that's what I was doing just now. So anyway, carry on.
You'll be able to get what you deserve. Are we there, Carolyn?
Yeah, sorry. The mute function is not working. So if I can hear a few people, a little bit of rustle, and so I don't know why it's not working, but we'll just tell everyone to be a little bit. I think most people are on webcast. So I think maybe just now you heard me and I was interrupting you, but actually it muted you out. So I interrupted you. I apologize.
Okay.
Anyway, so as you were saying.
Yes. And what I would like to do is just share the 10 tips for the people who don't believe they have what they want, who believe that they can have a better life and create better relationships and careers and peer groups and feel better about themselves. So I'd like to share my first tip with you. And that
Excellent.
Basically is ask for what you want.
Oh,
and
the bottom, so important.
It is. The bottom line is that people simply, they just don't ask. They're under the impression that it's not meant to be if they have to ask. Or proper etiquette dictates that if I have to ask, you know, I shouldn't have it, or people should know what my needs are. And frankly, it's all bunk. Whether you want a promotion, the person you're interested to commit, or the last piece of chocolate cake at a party, you need to train yourself to speak up and ask for what you want.
And, you know, Lisa, if I can interject, every single person, regardless of the industry that they're in, that we've done teleseminars with, have brought up this very point. It is such an important point, every single one of them. And people, all of these successful people that we have interviewed and talked to, have said exactly that. I started to get what I wanted because I started to ask for it.
Exactly, and it comes down to etiquette or the way that we're trained, or it's not proper to do that. And I could give you an example of that. For me in my personal life, I hired a company to help me with publicity. And they clearly stated that, you know, the results vary from client to client. So there were really no guarantees. And they had reputable testimonials from tons of satisfied clients, so I bought their service. Well, by the time I was finished with their service, I wasn't happy with the results that I received. And, you know, I couldn't get a refund because basically they said results vary from client to client. So what I did is I wrote a letter to the CEO and basically said, you know what, I expected better results and it didn't work out for me. I do realize that I'm not entitled to a refund, et cetera. I signed the contract. And he said, you know what, he believed in my story and what I was publicizing and couldn't understand exactly why I didn't get the publicity that I was looking for. So he compensated me with a $3,500 audio DVD and entire book program to teach me how to publicize myself. And I was able to do that, and I was able to get all kinds of radio shows from it based on me speaking up and asking for what I wanted.
Yeah, just for asking. And had you not, you wouldn't have gotten that.
Exactly.
And I'm sure that was a very valuable tool when promoting your book.
It absolutely was. I mean, I am an advocate for teaching myself. I mean, I really like the grassroots approach to it because you learn the inner workings of everything, the guts of the way things operate, and I've learned so much transitioning from a police officer into a speaker, into coaching, that I feel like as if I need to know everything that happens behind the scenes. So, again, it did help me, and it just gives me a little bit more media savvy.
Oh, that's wonderful. What a great story. What a great story. And I think that's where we started to make our breakthrough is because we started asking. And, you know, people that we thought would never do teleseminars with us are doing teleseminars with us. And you know, people that are very successful in what they do. And I just want to point out it wasn't always easy for us to ask.
No.
I think that by my very nature and by the team, when we first started, the very nature was it was rude to ask. We didn't realize at the forefront of our brain that we felt that way. It was something that was deep-rooted, and
yes.
And it's almost a feeling like, well, I can't ask, because then they'll think, oh, what does she want out of me? And maybe it's rude, and why would people want to do anything for me? And I really had to train myself to get over that, and I had to realize that most people want to help you. You'll be very surprised at how many people want to help you. Very surprised.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So, you just got to get over. You have to get over it, and it was something that the team of Doppelit that we had to realize that. And the more that you start asking, the easier it becomes, and the more people come your way to help you.
And you know what? That's the perfect segue into tip number two. And tip number two is to toughen up, because how we react to other people's perception of us will make or break us. And we need to accept that everyone has an opinion of us, and we have to choose not to let it affect us. Our emotional state is controlled completely by us. So my hard advice for that is just to buck up, turn the other cheek, and dismiss what doesn't feel good. I can remember a time when I really had to dig deep and turn the other cheek, because it wasn't always easy. When I was in the military, I was 18 years old, and I had a drill instructor screaming in my face, insulting me, you know, nose to nose, and spit was just popping out of his mouth, and it was disgusting.
Oh.
And horrible, and I mean, just I was incredibly afraid, and it just dawned on me in that moment, this man really doesn't know who I am. He's screaming basically, you know, at an inhuman object, and I kind of separated myself from him and thought to myself, okay, what can I do to endure this? Because I knew I wanted to graduate the academy, the boot camp. I knew I wanted to move further in trying to get an education. And so what I did is I just played a little game where I just sang in my mind. And as he screamed and screamed and said all those things, it completely erased. And I was just singing and distracted myself. And I realized it's nothing but a mind game. And I watched as other girls cried and wept and had to go and see psychologists. And basically what they did is a lot of them left. People actually left the military because they couldn't take it. And I received the most growth in my life from that military experience.
Wow.
So it wouldn't have changed it.
Yeah, well, it is a very good point, and it's something that I've had to learn too. And I had to learn that nothing is personal. And you said something as you were speaking. You said, this person really doesn't know me. I want everyone to remember that Lisa said that. This person really doesn't know me. So when you come across, an adverse situation that you don't like and it's making you uncomfortable and there's a strong negative opinion that's being told about you, that person doesn't really know you. And I think that's a very good point. I got a little bit of noise. Lisa, did you dial in on the 218 number, 218-486-3695?
I dialed on the one that's on my website, so...
Okay, I'm going to, if you wouldn't mind, and I apologize, everyone, that way I can mute everybody out except for Lisa and I. If you could just hang up and dial right down this number, 218-486-3695, and type in the code 171633#, and then we can get into the next tip.
Terrific. Hello, Carolyn, I'm back.
Oh, you're back. Okay, let me mute out all callers. Hang on one moment.
Okay.
Okay, Lisa, are you there?
I am.
Oh, good. Okay. Now we won't hear any noise in the background.
Perfect.
Anyway, we were talking about toughening up.
Yes.
And it is, and it's really interesting. I wanted to give another little tip. I actually live in a tip about toughening up. I actually live in the Caribbean, and it's a very different culture than the American culture. And I noticed that people were brutally honest all the time. And I had to discover that when people said something that wasn't very nice, you know, and they tell you, oh, gosh, you're getting fat now, or, you know, when I was pregnant, or and these things that in America you would never say to anybody, you know, unless you know something. And my first pregnancy, I really had to toughen up. Plus, you're very hormonal. But it was when I discovered at that moment that nothing was personal. They were saying this, all these other opinions, and it was just their perception of what was going on.
Yes.
You know, if they didn't like something that you were doing. And what's interesting is the Caribbean people are so honest, so brutally honest. That
they unedit. It's kind of like children.
Yes,
children,
it is. It really
they
is.
They just call it out.
They call it out, but I discovered that they didn't always get it right. And if in America we were always speaking our mind and just saying it like it was, you would discover that a lot of these perceptions of you or whoever they're talking about aren't really you.
Exactly.
And when I discovered that, I went, oh, wow, none of this is actually personal. I did discover that I had to toughen up, and it was a great learning lesson to be down here and realize that. And so I want everyone to remember that. Nobody knows you as well as you do.
That's exactly right, Carolyn.
So that brings us to the next tip, which is stop living in the past. Oh, this is so important.
It is, and it's actually one of the hardest ones that people tend to have the most difficulty with breaking through. A lot of people just refuse to let go of their past, and it's that whole thing of hanging on to victimhood. Think about it. Do you ever take a negative event from your past and expect the same result in the future based on that experience?
Yeah,
there are people who do that. And my advice is just visit the past when you're reminiscing about something positive, something great that happened in your life. Promise yourself to live in the now.
It is. It's in fact, you remind me of this book called The Precious Present that everybody should read, and the gift that this little boy found to discover, and it's really all about that. And so many people in life have had a terrible, terrible history, and terrible things happen to them. Everyone's had bad things happen to them.
Yeah.
Full stop. Everyone's had bad things. But you look at the great things that Nelson Mandela went on to do after being in prison for so many years. You know, look at Oprah and her past and her childhood. They went on to do great things. And had they have stopped to focus on these horrible pasts and let this their past define them, these events that are in the past, they're gone, they're over. But they didn't. They took what was good out of it and moved on to empower themselves.
It's the difference between a victim and a victor in life. It's people who decide to do something with their negative experiences and push through and move forward and leave it behind them. And that's why I'm such an advocate of, you know, not replaying a bad memory. It serves no purpose, none whatsoever. And really just to think about where you have had successes and replay those. Well, basically what you're doing is you're stacking all the good things that happen in your life, and it's a self-esteem builder. Think about all the things that you've done and accomplished. Stack them. Remember them. Flood your brain with those things constantly, especially when you're getting ready to do something you've never done before. And all of a sudden you feel the growth, and you think, you know what, it is possible just by replaying those great memories.
Yeah, and I'm a big believer in that too. Remember what was good. And I've read Napoleon Hill's book, Think and Grow Rich, a few times.
Yeah.
And he says the same thing about the past, not living in the past. But what he says is to take those bad experiences and make them your greatest assets. Because they can, if you look at it that way, they will be your greatest assets.
You're
and that
right.
will empower you
exactly
to then live
right.
in the present. In the present. In the present.
Where you'll get presents if you do.
Yeah. Maybe have presents on my mind. My anniversary is coming up. I think yours is too, isn't it?
It just passed.
Oh, happy anniversary.
Why, thank you.
Tell Rock I said so as well.
I sure will.
Oh, good. So anyway, I think that would lead us into tip number 4, which is don't make excuses.
Yes. Exactly. When it's time to go for what you want, you tell yourself a story that prevents you to take a step ahead. Stories like, I know someone else who tried that and it didn't work out, or I'm too young to do it, I'm too old, I'm not smart enough to pursue that dream. What I recommend is that you start every new venture with a mindset or a mantra, something that you're going to say to yourself over and over, that it is possible, you know, or why not? Why not? I don't know if you ever heard of the philosopher Osho, but I love one of the things that he says. A person really becomes a person when they accept total responsibility. They're responsible for whatsoever that they are, and this is the first courage and the greatest courage, meaning that you're not making excuses for where you are in your life right now, because basically we design our lives. We have complete autonomy and control over who we become. So accept that. I made me. I put me where I am today, and I needed to do something in order to get out of it. Or congratulate yourself. I made me, and I'm very happy where I am right now, and I designed it, and I controlled it, and therefore, you know, I deserve gratitude or accolades for it. Bottom line is, get out of the habit of making excuses or playing the victim for where you are in your life right now.
You know, you remind me of this. When I was in fifth grade, the most phenomenal teacher, I think that I will never, I can't think of another teacher that had more influence than my fifth grade teacher. And you're still quite young in fifth grade, so it's amazing that this person would have such influence. But she taught that on the very first day of school, and I think that she was actually new to this elementary school, and she had a completely different way of teaching. And you walked into the room, and on the bulletin board, remember in the old days they had all those, like, cork board. You had blackboards,
yes.
And write with chalk, and then you had those big, like, cork board type things that you could pin up, you know, whatever,
sure.
on the board. And she had in these gigantic letters that filled up the entire board, no excuses. And the entire school year, she never took that down.
Mm.
And whenever someone was late into the class, when someone didn't finish a project, she didn't hear of it. No excuses. Here's your grade. And it was no excuses. And someone come running in, oh, I'm sorry. But this, nope, she wouldn't hear it. And but what was interesting is she taught each of the children in the class responsibility. And when they discovered responsibility for who they are and that they can create their outcome, my feeling of this fifth grade teacher is that she empowered me, and it was exciting to go do the homework assignment that she wanted us to do. And I never had a teacher like that in all my years of grade school that was like that. And kids that were, almost failing in previous grades, you know, they went on to get really good grades. She empowered these kids, and it was so great to watch this one little tip that you gave, you know, don't make excuses in these little kids. And she will always be in my memory. It was an incredible teacher.
That's an amazing story, and I'm sure there are many people on this call right now who can recall teachers who have had that incredible impact on their lives, their mentors. You go back in time and you think about, who are the teachers that I respected most? And surely they're the ones who pushed you the hardest to achieve those results. So, you know, I hold a special place in my heart for teachers and what they do and what they're capable of instilling in children.
And we are students for our entire lives. We never stop learning. And I'm a student of life, and I never stop learning. And so it is about taking responsibility and continue learning.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Well, that brings us to tip number 5, which is don't listen to people who tell you it's never been done before.
Mm-hmm.
All of us. I can just hear the founder, which happens to be my father, of Doppelik, giggling right now as he's listening, because let me tell you, he's had a lot of people tell him that before, and he proved them all wrong with everything he's done.
And is there nothing more rewarding than that? I mean,
oh,
truly.
No.
And this is a question that I want to give to our listeners. Do you ever find yourself putting your complete trust in the status quo? Do you believe if history or the public or the media says it can't be done, and then think to yourself, why should I even try? But the bottom line is, the more you listen to it, the more you believe in it. And I just want people to remember that the largest rewards in life go to those who embrace a never-say-never attitude. I mean, that's how inventions are born. I mean, the list goes on and on about people who have completely denied the status quo and went for something. And my example is this. I certainly wasn't the first woman on a SWAT team in the history of the world, but I was the first woman on my SWAT team where there was never a woman before. And truly it was taking a step outside my comfort zone and asking the question, okay, there aren't any women on the team. Is it because they aren't allowed? And I went and I researched the general order, and I said, okay, what's the criteria for being a member of the SWAT team? And I looked and said, okay, there's nothing on there that says anything that has to do with gender. And when a position opened up, I went for the position. And, you know, it wasn't the easiest thing to do. It was I was met with a lot of discrimination and naysayers and people who decided that they weren't going to be my cheerleaders or felt that they didn't want women on the team and, you know, all of those things. And I did need to toughen up and use all the tools that I'm sharing with you today. But, you know, if I said to myself, you know, it's never been done, why push it, then I wouldn't have had the experiences that I did.
Oh, exactly. And you're living proof and living inspiration that, and like I said, I'm sure each goal that you came across, there was, just like the SWAT team, it looked like it was impossible. It looked like, you know, it couldn't be done. No, but no woman had done it before. But you found that little road around that wall that was built, and the attitude that says, you know, never say never, and you did that. That I think that's such a wonderful story, and I love the story of how you got on and all the characters that mm-hmm. either helped you or didn't help you in your book. It's an amazing story. It really is. And that brings us to number 6, ditch your negative peer group and surround yourself with motivated people. Oh, this one is so important.
It truly is, because, you know, close friends, family members, they often make it difficult. You know, it's not because they don't love us. It's just because we're venturing into unknown territory a lot of times when we decide to make a shift in our lives. And even with, you know, the best intentions, they might influence us to remain in a place where they feel most comfortable. My mother surely didn't want me to join the military. And when I was married and I decided I was going to be a police officer, my husband wasn't, you know, there with pom-poms in the background. Fantastic, great, I'm so proud of you. I mean, none of that was happening. Because bottom line is, our peers, our family members, they're comfortable with our presence. It's our mentors who are comfortable with our future. So I recommend surrounding yourself with people who want more from you, and that truly is the only way to grow.
So what's a good way to determine who is in your support circle?
It's easy. Ask yourself the question, who are the people who stand in your corner during the most difficult moments in your life? which friends have risked telling you the hard truth about something with grace and love simply because they care for you, or for instance, which of your friends refuses to belittle or tear down others even when those people are not around? Who holds you accountable for what you say or what you're going to do? And think about who you feel completely and absolutely safe with. That is your support circle, and these are the people that you need to surround yourself with.
Yeah, that is so. And you know, it's easy to tell when someone's not your support circle. And there's been instances in my life where, as I grow and accomplish goals, people who I thought were friends or
yes.
you know, good work colleagues or whomever, the more advanced that you know you get towards your goal, the ones that aren't out for you, it's like the worse they become. Does that make any sense? And so
it
you
does,
know,
because
it's almost like they want you to
yes.
stay where they're at.
Yes.
They don't want you to keep, and that's a good indication. And the more you put into self-development, or the more you put into reaching a goal, or whatever, those people that are not in your support group who you may have thought seem to get a little bit worse.
Think about, put yourself in the place of maybe in your teen years, back to high school. And think about people who maybe were excelling, or people who had gotten on a team or volleyball or sports and made the team. Maybe you didn't. And you watch them move away from you. And think about the feelings that you had when they moved away from you. And it was like, what can I do to make them, you know, come back or hold on to it? Or if you didn't have the skill yourself in order to make the team or whatever it was that your friends were moving away from you, you know, you do everything in your power to get back the relationship. So in a way, you kind of have an understanding when you put yourself in their shoes. But the thing is, when you have the growth and maturity that you need in your life, you realize that I have a person in my life who is growing, and I want to be the cheerleader for that person because I want the best from them. And even if you're not on the same path as them, they're going to realize that, you know what, even though they're not sharing a sport or an activity or a career or moving in the direction that I am, this is a person who loves me and supports me, and you'll be in their life forever. And that's what you really need to think about. Do I want to hold on to this person as a friend, or do I want to pull them back from achieving something? And a lot of marriages are even broken up for that same reason, because one spouse or the other is moving and advancing, and the other spouse is trying to hold on to what they know or had seen as safe in the relationship because they are fearful of the unknown. What happens if my spouse takes a new job or has a new career or has a new peer group and a social circle? Now I need to adapt to all of that. And change is the most difficult thing for people to you know, decide that they want for their lives.
Oh, that's so true. And if they just could discover that they themselves are even more capable of things than they ever dreamt possible. But I think sometimes people in their heads don't think that they're capable of these things and that they'll be left behind.
Exactly. And that comes basically right down to their personal self-esteem. And
yes.
that's where the work needs to be done on them. There are so many resources out there with getting mentors or reading books or going to different seminars and, you know, adopting new and empowering beliefs and figuring out how to do that. Find out what it is that you fear the most or what you're lacking in your life, and get the help that you need for it. There's resources are literally, you know, a few keys away on your keyboard to look at research and find out what can I do to improve my life condition.
Well, that is a perfect introduction, actually, to the next tip, which is, believe that you deserve what you are going for. Mindset is everything. It, you know, we are the total lump sums of our thoughts up
yes.
to this day. And the beauty about thoughts and beliefs is that they can be changed. It's literally as simple as that. Believe that you deserve.
It absolutely is. It absolutely is. And let me ask this question to the group. Are you one of those people, anybody that's listening right now, who is under the misconception that you haven't earned the right to have what you want? You tell yourself you're not deserving of the raise. You don't deserve the relationship. You don't deserve a new car. And you think of all these different reasons why you shouldn't have it. Well, what I want to tell you is that's a surefire way to prevent you from getting exactly what you want. And what we don't realize is that we are gifted. We're gifted with more talent and ability than we even realize. And our job in life is to explore as many of those talents and abilities as possible and share them with the world. Basically, it's a matter of saying to yourself, I want something, and you feel it in your heart, and there's something there that's burning inside of you that you want to pursue. and saying to yourself, I deserve it, and what is the reason that I deserve it?
Yeah, that's so true, and it is the foundation. It really is the foundation for your success, your thoughts, and your beliefs. And once you start changing that which doesn't serve you, you start changing your outcome.
Absolutely.
And it's give us some more examples of because I love this topic so much.
Yeah.
Give us some more examples of changing your belief so that you can believe that you deserve what you're going for. Because I do think that we should talk about this a bit, because mindset is so important. And if anyone that's been listening to any of our teleseminars knows that we talk about this a lot.
Absolutely. In order to, bottom line is this, and one of the ways that I help people find or discover their passion or what they want is I have them answer a series of questions. And one of the first questions that I ask them is, if money weren't an issue in your life, what would you be doing right now? And I really permit them to have that sink in. If money weren't an issue, what would I be doing with my life right now? And often what I also do to help my coaching clients is I say, think about the thing that makes you feel equally excited and fearful simultaneously. The thing that's going to give you goosebumps and also is going to think that make you feel like, oh, gosh, I could never pursue that. But the thought of pursuing that thing makes you feel elated and alive and powerful and stimulated and full of drive. But also you feel this sense of terror inside and think, oh, my God, if that happened, you know, then what? So the thing that pulsates your heart and, again, feeling equally excited and fearful, when you have that, that's the thing that you should be pursuing in your life.
I love that. And, you know, I had that with teleseminars. You know, people say, well, you don't sound nervous at all when you get on the phone. And I said, well, yeah, you should have heard me when I did the first one. But I can remember getting off the phone saying, wow, what a rush, you know. And then the next one wasn't as hard. And then I started doing more and more. And it took me a few, you know, not to be trembling in my boots, because I think that by very nature, we, you know, you're wondering if you're doing a good job and who's out there criticizing us and who's not, you know, thinks that this wasn't good enough.
Yeah.
Or, you know,
did I give value? Are people going to use the tips and all of those? And these are things that we have to just get rid of. We have to say, I'm on purpose. I feel I'm on purpose. I know you feel you're on purpose in doing what you're doing and serving the way that you're serving. And when you come from a place of service, combined with whatever it is that you're pursuing and passion, and it is about helping people, lifting people, breaking through fears and barriers and obstacles and showing them a new way, for me, that's enough drive. If there's one person on this telephone call that takes one tip, that's enough for me. It's enough for me to know that I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing. I'm on the right path. It feels good. It feels right. And it's something that I'm going to continue to do for as long as the good Lord lets me.
I love it. We're just on the same wavelength. I just love it. Well, that gets into our next tip, which is stop thinking it's too much work.
Yes.
Because if you start believing, this gets into beliefs too, doesn't it, Lisa?
It does.
If we keep thinking, oh, this is so hard, this is so much work, well, then it becomes really hard.
It's our inner narrative. No question. It's our inner narrative. It's what we say to ourselves. We have so many conversations with ourselves in a day. I mean, it's truly comical, the things that we constantly are asking ourselves, should I do this? Should I do that? What if this happens? What if that? Or, you know, and you have to say to yourself, do you find yourself saying, you know what, the work involved is just not worth my time and effort? If you're telling yourself that and then you decide that, you know what, it is too much work, basically, all that is a protection strategy. It's just a way for you to stop pursuing what it is that you want to do by putting that little label in there. You know what? It's just too much work. I just don't have the time to pursue this. And basically, what my advice is, just throw away those excuses. Again, no more excuses. Do the work and then decide after if it was worth it, because that's the only way you're ever going to really know.
Well, everyone out there is in a different circumstance, and certainly there are some people that are maybe in an easier circumstance than others. So if I could give an example, maybe you could give some advice, is what would you say to stay-home moms who secretly dream about starting her own business?
Yes, yes. And we have, our society has shifted. In a lot of ways, you know, there are moms out there who are juggling. They're doing either part-time work or they're the full-time mom and juggling career and family. And kudos to those moms who are doing that. And kudos to the mothers who are staying at home and taking care of a family, because that is just an incredibly admirable job to make that decision and do that. But then there are situations where you need to work. It's a matter of putting food on the table, or you're a single parent. The list goes on and on. And believe it or not, I've got many coaching clients who fit that criteria. They're a stay-at-home mom, and they secretly dream about starting their own business. They want to still be at home, and they want to take care of their children, but they do want something else for their lives. And what I simply tell them, it's just a matter of prioritizing and chunking your day. Have you ever heard that term, chunking down your day? Basically, it's doing one thing toward your goal, whatever it is. If it's starting another business, if you decide you want to write a book, if you want to write an article, if you want to create something in the craft industry, if you want to create a product, if it's cooking, baking, recipes, whatever it is, do one thing toward that goal a day, because what that does is just it avoids overwhelm. Because when I decided that I was going to write my book, I was running a household, and there are many people who are doing that. You know, think about Mrs. Fields, the cookie maker. You know, the chains are all over the United States now. And basically, she was a stay-at-home mother, and she built a multi-million dollar empire by creating a cookie and then getting a little bit of help with other people and learning how to market it, and now she's a household name. So it is possible. It's just a matter of chunking down your day and saying, let me just do one thing toward that goal.
You know, this is a good point you bring up. At Doppelit, we have a product that we talk about this, and it's about achieving your goals, and we actually call it the Pac-Man effect, I guess, for lack of a better term, but it's the Pac-Man.
That's a great visual.
You know, you've got these big, got these big grandiose goals, right?
Yeah.
And I think a lot of times that people say, okay, they see that goal over there, but, you know, as the saying goes, Rome wasn't built in a day.
Yeah.
And so Pac-Man builds those points by eating one at a time and getting bigger and bigger. And before you know it, what you're saying is chunking it, before you know it, you're that much bigger to chomp a that much bigger even portion of your goal. And
yeah.
All of a sudden, those little bits as you go along the way add up to a very big goal that you accomplish so you can get to your vision. And like you said, that's when you do that, that's how you make it so it doesn't feel like it was too much work, and you're not overwhelmed with trying to get to that big, grandiose dream that you have.
You're exactly right. One of the tips that I learned in my whole book writing and marketing process, and Jack Canfield, the author of Chicken Soup for the Soul series, he basically said is do three things toward your passion. Every day do something, do three things. And they could be the smallest things. Now, with me, marketing was important, so that meant trying to get media, trying to get television programs, radio programs, articles published, people to do interviews for me. So that basically meant, okay, if I do three things today, even on a day that I just don't feel like it, you wake up on the wrong side of the bed, it happens sometimes, it's raining, and you just feel like it's a blah day. Go into my office, and I make the decision, okay, what can I do today? I'm going to send an email to one radio station, okay, check that off the list. Number two, what am I going to do? I'm going to contact my personal assistant and have her send out a memo to Craigslist. Boom, done, taken care of. And those three things can take 5 minutes. It's just so you have the momentum of saying or making a promise to yourself that I'm going to do the three things no matter what they are, and even if it's a bad day, I've got three things accomplished, and you know that you haven't stopped progress.
And perfectly said, because it leads right into tip number 9, tell yourself that you have what it takes. And I think that there's something that happens in your psyche when you're doing a little bit at a time and you're doing something every day, and you can look back at your day and say, did I win or lose today? I won because I did those three things that you talked about.
Yes.
And you start developing that belief that you have what it takes to get to that grandiose dream of yours.
Absolutely. And it's those little things that build your self-esteem.
Oh, it does. It does. Think about it. Think of how powerful the thought is when you've been in a really, the impact, you're in a really bad mood, and you go to bed, and you didn't do anything to get towards your goal.
Yeah.
That's almost more destructive than, you know, than you can imagine. That,
you know,
just doing the little teeny thing that got you a little bit closer. It's so important.
Personal, Exactly. It's the personal abuse sometimes that is more detrimental than anybody else saying anything. You know, we're more hard on ourselves than anyone could ever be. And in the tip number 9, when I say tell yourself that you have what it takes, basically I want people to use the acting as if skill. Act as if you already have the skill or you already have the talent, you already have the know-how to pursue whatever it is that you really want. Because how will you ever really know you have what it takes until you try? And what I recommend to people is to take immediate action coupled with follow-through, as I mentioned before, and the belief that you can achieve your outcome. And repeat the mantra over and over, I have what it takes. I can do it. I have what it takes.
Yeah, it's something that is so important. And the I have what it takes. I am great. The I am is so powerful.
I am statements,
and,
for sure.
Yeah, and you state it as if it's in the present, and it just manifests itself to be true. It goes right back to you know, mindset and making that real solid. Now I know from your book Undercover Angel you referenced using that quite a bit as if, I think the first one was the beauty queen pageant, the Miss USA, and you must have been, I was reading it going, she must have been shaking in her shoes. I mean, she just went out there and did it and had no experience. And why don't you tell everybody that story?
You know, it's one of those situations where when you don't know what you don't know, it's okay. Until you realize that all of a sudden, there's more things out here that I did not realize, and all of a sudden the shaking in your boots feeling arises. Well, my mother entered me in the Miss Illinois USA pageant. She entered me without me knowing. So what did that mean? That meant that, I mean, obviously I didn't have experience. She sent in a bio and a photograph, and I was accepted to compete. So when I arrived, basically there were a whole bunch of other women there who have competed in pageants before, who have had people that they hired, their personal groomers, people who teach them how to interview in front of a panel of professionals, people who show them how to wear their hair, the famous pageant hair, how to apply their makeup, how to prepare for the dance numbers, what to wear during the interview. I mean, all of these things that I was completely, completely oblivious to. I had no idea what it took to prepare for a beauty pageant. You know, I came from a welfare family. I educated myself my senior year of high school by working almost a full-time job at a mini-mart. So here was this kid working as a waitress part-time later and competing in the Miss Illinois USA pageant. It definitely wasn't something that, you know, I had in common with any of the other girls there. So before I arrived, I didn't know that. When I arrived and I saw what the competition was, it was like, okay, I had my wake-up call. And fortunately, my roommate was a former Miss Teen Illinois, and she was truly a sweetheart and a true Miss Congeniality. She took me under her wing, and she showed me how to walk. I didn't even know how to walk a runway properly. And she said, okay, this is what you do. And I kind of just followed her, and I acted as if I belonged, and I pretended that, you know, I wasn't on welfare, and people didn't know what my history was or where I lived and where I came from and how I was educated and that I was working as a waitress. I just didn't share those things, and I pretended as if I fit in. It was fake it till I made it. And with that little bit of training that I had with the former Miss Teen Illinois, I placed 25th out of 205 women.
That's so amazing.
So in the end,
so amazing.
If I hadn't had that, if you know, I could have decided that, you know what, Mom, come and pick me up because I don't stand a chance. You know, it's just, this isn't happening for me. And I decided, well, I'm here and I'm going to make the best of it.
That's so amazing. Kudos to you, because when I was reading that, I was picturing, what if that was me and I had never done this? I mean, here I was on my first teleseminar, I was nervous. I mean, come on. That was nothing. You know, and have it live and these people staring at you and such a large audience. And then to come in 25th out of everybody, that is so phenomenal. I'm sure it was just a defining moment in your life. Absolutely a defining moment in your life.
And what that taught me is the pageant experience was a great experience, and the bottom line is what it taught me is if I just act, if I just put on that air or that different persona and modeled other people and truly just learned and trained under these mentors, then, you know, it could take me places. And I used it over and over and over again in my life, in my career.
What a wonderful
lesson. Gave me great results.
Yeah, what a wonderful lesson to learn at that age as well. You know, I don't think people at that age are even really thinking about that. And, you know, everyone that we've talked to, when we did Teleseminar with Jack Canfield, he told us how every year he throws a party and everybody has to show up. as who they want to be, as if it's today, 5 years from now.
Oh,
and
my goodness.
It's just the impact that has on people to act as if you're already this person and then start manifesting it. And we spoke to Kirk Ashley. What's his motto? Fake it until you make it.
Yes.
Which
yes.
I think is so good.
So you can see the value. The value is there. A lot of people are using it.
Well, that leads us into the 10th tip, which is don't be afraid of change. I think innately people don't like change.
Yes.
And it is something that's very hard for a lot of people.
And it comes down to the meaning. What meaning do people attach to change in their lives? What does it mean? All of a sudden something wells up inside of them where they changed in another area of their life, and whatever it was, they had either a negative result or, fear from what happened. And, you know, the bottom line is that reinvention, transformation, and change happens with or without us. You know, there are a lot of things that are out of our control and some that we can control. And basically, think of this metaphor, how you drive your life's car. Whether you ride your brake, you coast along, or you're punching your gas pedal, you have the sole power to move toward what you want at the pace that you decide. Bottom line.
Oh, I like that. Yes, at the pace you decide. Yes, I like that. So it takes the fear out. And, you know, the greatest fear of the human psyche really is the fear of the unknown, because our imaginations are so wild.
Yes.
And that's really what makes it that we don't like change, is that we just got these wild imaginations. What's the old saying, fear knocked, faith answered, and there was no one there?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Well, Lisa, what would you say has been your most dramatic reinvention?
Believe it or not, Carolyn, out of all the experiences that I've had in my life, a lot of crazy things, Miss Illinois USA pageant, military, desert storm, heavy equipment operator, police officer, undercover detective, posing as a 14-year-old to catch internet predators, sexual predators, infiltrating the mafia, first woman on the SWAT team, officer of the year, all of those things. I would have to say the transition from a single, independent career police officer to a wife and a stepmom to three children was the most challenging and rewarding thing that I've ever done. Because, really, I had no idea what it was like to suddenly care for an entire family. And people look at that, it's like, come on, you are on SWAT, and, you know, you storm doors and all of those things, and you're telling me that becoming a stepmom was the most challenging thing you've ever done. And I know,
wow.
And I'm hoping there are, you know, a lot of moms and fathers out there who are probably saying, yes, you're absolutely right, Lisa, because in a lot of situations they would probably trade that. You know, that was easy what you were doing, and look at it that way. Because basically you're responsible for molding a life, for teaching, for disciplining somebody. And I feel like the responsibility that comes with that is just, it's profound. It's the largest, most significant job that anybody could have in their life. And truly, that was my biggest transition, transformation, and reinvention that I've ever had. I wouldn't change it for anything. And I feel like it is possible to have a balance finally, you know, realizing later on that you can't have balance between career and family. But it just took some work, and it took some of the tips that I'm sharing with you today in order for me to be able to fulfill that.
Well, I think you're a wonderful role model to stepchildren that you have. Honestly, the empowerment and do you have daughters, stepdaughters as well?
Yeah, 16-year-old stepson and 13 and 14-year-old daughters.
Yes, you did tell me that, and I think that for these girls to see the wonderful things you've accomplished and to show that you are more capable than you ever thought that you could be capable of doing and accomplishing, I think that's a wonderful role model. It really is.
Thank you.
Well, on your final thought, would you like to share anything on final thought? And if you wouldn't mind, I saw that a whole slew of questions came in.
How
I can
exciting.
Just see people. Yeah, if you don't mind, we can open up for Q&A, and I can
absolutely.
I'll read the web ones first, and we can open up. And if anyone's on the line and wants to share anything, we can do that. But if there's anything that you would want to share as a final thought, why don't we do that?
Absolutely. My last tip that I have is basically, it's not a tip, it's just a thought. You either cause your reinvention quickly or you slowly live with the effects from it. And what I want for everybody to do today, after this call, just decide that you're going to punch your gas pedal and live at cause. I want people to celebrate, congratulate themselves, and be grateful knowing that they are responsible for their life by their design.
Oh, what a great thought. You should. Can I quote you on our site and say, "Bye, Lisa Lockwood"? Well, I have one last thought. Everybody that's listening on webcast, I have a big button there that says "Buy Lisa's Book Now," and I have read it, and it is written wonderfully. It's a great read. It's inspiring. It makes you feel that you can accomplish anything that you want to accomplish. And she's creative, and she's honest, and it's a wonderful book. So I wanted everybody to get in on it. Why not share the wonderful things? And so I actually programmed the webcast to click on that. It'll go straight to Lisa's section of her site that you can buy her ebook. And it's just pennies on the dollar, and it's worth the read. And anyone that's listening, that's not listening via webcast, you can go to lisalockwood.com and you can navigate yourself through that site and get to it. But I wanted to point that out. I've also
Thank
put
you,
her
Carol.
Link on the webcast underneath the button, just the Lisa Lockwood site. But it's definitely worth the read, and I'm so grateful that I had the chance to read it because it really is a wonderful book.
Thank you.
Yes, you're welcome. Well, without further ado, why don't we see what I haven't even read any of these. Let's see what, besides the one that said, "What is reinvention?" Let's go into this. Karen from Missouri, let's see. Oh, she's apologizing. She had a meeting scheduled. This is
no.
So cute. She wants to know if she'll be able to listen to it again. Yes, if you have people out there that you can pass this along, I have the link that got everyone to the webcast set for replay, so you can go back and listen to this. I also have the big button set on the replay page so that people can, even if tonight you don't have time to get on the site, you can go back to the link, get on the replay, and click to get to Lisa's site there as well in her book. So that's something I wanted to let everybody know. Brian, Hampton, Virginia, inspiration, how is it attained? How do we discover goals that have meaning, and what is the science behind creatively coming up with ideas for new targets in life? This is something so many people struggle with. It's, you know, what are their gifts? How do we get inspired to do what it is we really want to do?
And I would like to reiterate again, we know deep in our hearts what it is that we want to do. And we're afraid to pursue it for whatever limiting belief that we put on ourselves. It's our inner narrative that prevents us. And again, the test that I have over and over again that I share with people is, think if money were not an issue in your life, you had all the money that you wanted, what would you be doing every single day? Every single day, what would be the thing that excites you, where you jump out of bed and say, "Oh, great, I get to do this today"? And when you think about that and you're taking money completely out of the equation, that is the thing that you're supposed to do. And then the money will come. It will come. It's the whole, I'm a complete advocate in the law of attraction. It will happen if you do what you're supposed to do and what you're meant to do. A lot of people say, "Well, I don't feel like I have a talent or a special ability." It doesn't matter. Just think about what it is that you want to do. For some people, it's donating their time, being a philanthropist, showing up at hospitals or reading the children. I mean, it runs the gamut of what our passion is. But when we're doing what we love, we're the happiest in our lives, no matter what dollar amount that it affords us in the end.
Oh, what a wonderful answer. Thank you. Jill Krebs, which you met earlier, Mission Viejo, she says, "When did you have the courage to change or reinvent yourself? How do you take that plunge?"
The very first time I felt... after the Miss Illinois USA pageant, and I made the decision that I was going to join the military and leave my family, and it was the first time I'd ever been on an airplane, and I was in a relationship, and I was actually engaged at the time to a man, and, you know, so it was this year of courting, and I was engaged, and now I was going to leave him and leave my family and my sisters who had young babies at home, and I had, you know, nieces and nephews, and venturing out on my own because I knew education was important. It was my first reinvention, basically, from being a young lady and turning myself into a soldier. So that was the initial, for me, the catalyst where I chose that. Now, remember, my mother chose Miss Illinois USA for me. That wasn't my choice. It was my choice to compete after they said yes, but it wasn't me saying, "I want to compete and I'm going to pursue this." I made the choice and lived with the effect of it when I decided to join the military. And believe me, the effect of that was a catalyst for all of the successes that I had later on in my life.
Okay. Scott in Ladera Ranch, your attitude and achievements are truly amazing. It feels that throughout your life there was a central core that never changed. The sour lemons and spiders that were thrust upon you to handle and live with would define most people's lives, but you seem to have one by one found a way to rise above them, back to your real core. My question is, if that is so, how do you feel you developed that core character, and how do you think we can help our children develop the same, or can we?
We absolutely can. And my mother was my biggest cheerleader in life. And if it hadn't been for her, because remember, I had a father who believed in corporal punishment, so I wasn't feeling like I got the love that I needed and I wanted from him. However, my mother was the one who was my cheerleader, who was congratulating me when I did well in school and would hang my papers up on the refrigerator and the bulletin board and would talk to my aunts, well, Lisa did this today, or Lisa competed in the spelling bee. Because she was that cheerleader, she was my mentor, and I wanted to achieve so much and make her so proud that was the catalyst that kept me going. Academically, I did well because I was constantly being fed those accolades. So what can you do for your children? Absolutely, you know, be their raving fan. I can't say that enough. Anything that they do or accomplish, tell them, bring it up, share it with them. You know, I had a father who was absent socially in my life, and I never got the accolades that I wanted from him, and it was always a matter of looking and searching for it. So as parents, you know, that's our job. Our job is to be our children's biggest cheerleader.
And you know, I have to congratulate my parents for always being cheerleaders. Both my parents always told me that I could accomplish anything I wanted in life, and I'm so grateful for that. And one thing that always sticks in my head is they always said, I'm so proud of you.
Yeah.
And sometimes it could be the smallest thing, but you never know what's really important to children. You know, I remember the first time I ever traveled around Europe, my dad was proud that I got to go visit all these. Oh, I'm so proud of you that you're doing this. And I think that as children, you really want your parents to be proud. And when you're not making right decisions and your life isn't going well, it's hard when, you know, you want your parents to be proud of you. You want to make proper decisions. And so as a child, one of the most powerful things I think you can tell children is, I'm proud of you with each accomplishment.
And with each failure. Keep in mind that as a child fails in life, you know, it's difficult for them to come to you with that because they're afraid of repercussions. And even if you're not a parent who believes in corporal punishment, even looking at a child, you know, dismissively or saying, I'm not proud of the action, et cetera, it's basically saying, and I've only been a stepmother for 5 years, and a lot of you out there have been doing it for a lot longer than I have, so just bear with me when I share this because I'm sure you have incredible advice as well. It's just a matter of saying, you know what, you made a wrong turn. Did you get the lesson from it? Ensuring that the child got the lesson in order for them to move past and move on, and then say, okay, it's behind us now, and it's not about reliving that experience. It's really moving forward from that point.
That's so true. That is so true. And I have to say, your good friend and our good friend at Doppler, Liz McRae, Montreal, popped through and said, hi, I just love her.
Oh.
She's such a nice woman. She really, really is. Oh, she's, hi back, Liz. I hope you're still listening. Okay, Sarah in Oklahoma City. As accomplishments pile on accomplishments, we all need to know them to feel that we can accomplish something in our lives. With the awards that come with your accomplishments, how do you maintain your fantastic humility? Oh, what a good question.
Aww.
Yeah, isn't that a wonderful question?
That was beautiful. That truly was beautiful. It's, for me, it's always remembering. It's remembering where I came from. It's remembering my roots. And I just feel fortunate in a lot of ways, and I know that I'm responsible for a lot of the action that I took to have the successes. But again, I just think, you know, thank God. Thank God my mom raised me the way that she did, and I have a good head on my shoulders, and living my purpose and doing what I'm doing right now, it's just, like I said, it's just, for me, I feel like I'm in a state of humility and thankfulness and gratitude toward God for it all.
Oh, that's wonderful. Thank you for that. Al in San Francisco, what literal, and he put in caps literal, what literal power do you think that our thoughts about ourselves have, would that power be the same about outside objects or goals? I'm thinking about your comments about reinventing yourself as it relates to self-image and my thoughts.
Yes. And if I understand the question, I believe what he's referring to is our inner narrative. It's the dialogue that we have with ourselves. And that is the most powerful conversation we will ever have. More powerful than a conversation with mom, more powerful than a conversation than the person we respect most. It's what we tell ourselves on a consistent basis is going to define who we are and how we show up in our lives. And my inner narrative constantly is, you know, it's thank you. It's coming from a place of gratitude. It's how can I serve? How can I help? What can I share with somebody? What do I have left in me? So that at the end of the day, I can look back and say, okay, how did I serve? Who did I help? Who benefited from my story? And, you know, how did I serve my family? It's all of those questions. And when we continue to do that, we continue to have progress and we continue to get more of the same result.
And I think that, too, is what keeps your fantastic humility that Sarah spoke about from Oklahoma City, that gratitude perspective. I love that. You know, we have so much
Thank
to be
you.
Grateful for, you know?
Truly.
Yeah, we do. Marcy from Orlando, I have a dear friend that is married to, in quotes, Tony.
Yeah.
Knowing what you know today, if you could tell her one thing, what would that be? Maybe you want to explain who Tony is
yes.
for everyone who doesn't know. This Tony. Is one of the stories in her book.
Tony is who I referenced, my ex-husband. And my ex-husband was an alcoholic, and he was emotionally abusive and then later physically abusive in my relationship, and I decided to leave him. And the piece of information that I'm going to share with her is something that I had learned from Maya Angelou from watching Oprah. And it's the most sage advice, and that advice is when someone shows you who they are, believe them. Meaning, I knew he was a drinker early on in the relationship, and I knew he had a volatile temper when I watch him punch his fist through a wall in a movie theater because I didn't want him to smuggle alcohol into the movies. I watched that behavior, and I dismissed it as, well, you know what, he's just got a temper or, you know, all the things. Well, guess what? You know, that manifested into something far greater and more severe later in life. He showed me who he was then, and I should have believed that instead of dismissing it.
Oh, that's such good advice. That's such good advice. And Scott and Ladera Ranch piped in again. He says, Lisa, I just have to say thank you, he put in big caps. Thank you from the bottom of my heart. I just had a real breakthrough. I just realized that my mother used to read the story, The Little Train, who thought he could, from before my memory and continue to say to me, I think I can, I think I can, I think I can, quoting The Little Train all my life. It was so ingrained that it became automatic subconscious mantra. You just triggered that. No wonder I have always thought I could. Thanks, Lisa.
Oh,
that was
you,
sweet.
Scott.
Think that
gave
was
me
so
goosebumps.
Sweet. Yeah, me too.
What
me
a great
too.
Mom.
Yeah. Liz popped in again in Montreal, and she says, yes, yeah, still here. Great presentation. I love that.
Hi, Liz.
So glad she's here. Sarah in San Diego, when making a decision that will better your life, how do you do that when you feel guilty and bad for the person that it will affect?
Well, I have to think about what that exactly means. When that person's saying better their life, is it the peer group? Is it moving away? Is it are you deciding that you're going to bless them out of your life? I like to say that. When we decide to change peer groups, it's a decision of saying I no longer want them in my group. And what a lot of people do is they take my advice and they really take it literally in the sense that I need to change my peer group immediately. And what I recommend to people is instead of dropping all of your friends and dropping and leaving your family, it's about adding new people in your life. So you can have those people in your life still, but just add a mentor or add somebody else who's going to bring you up versus deleting everybody, you know, straightforward. So as far as the guilt that this person feels of making themselves better in some way, I'm not sure exactly what it is, you decide. It's the decision that you're telling yourself, I feel guilty because there's something inside you that tells you that I want something for my life, I want to improve, and I want to improve my conditions, then that person should be your cheerleader. Bottom line.
Yeah, yeah. And surround your yourself with those cheerleaders. And soon the guilt and feeling like a bad person melts away as you better yourself. And, you know, you can be a role model for these people that feel left behind.
Exactly, because it's their issue. It's not your issue. It's their feelings, their perspective. That's where they need their growth. And if it means you moving away from that person, then they're going to realize, why did I lose that person? And that's where they get their biggest growth, and you've given them a gift.
Yes, isn't that? That's so true. Well, let me just refresh again on these questions just to make sure that I didn't miss anything that came through. Looks like we got them all. I'm going to open up the line just to see if there's anyone live that wants to. I find that more people on the line are usually shyer because the web is much easier.
Yes.
So let me unmute and we'll see if anyone has a question.
Okay.
Okay, if there's anyone out there that would like to ask Lisa a question, now would be the time. Anyone listening on the call? No one wants to say a question. Well, Lisa, you did get quite a few questions on the webcast, and I think you're a phenomenal human being, and I'm so grateful that you were here today to do this teleseminar, and I'm sure that everyone listening, you were truly inspirational to all of them and made a difference in each of their lives.
Thank you so much, Carolyn, and thank you for doing what you're doing in this world. Like I said before, giving the way that you do, serving the way that you do, continually finding ways to help people and connect people to the resources that they need in order to enhance their lives is a beautiful gift, and I'm glad that I know you, and I'm glad you're doing what you do.
Oh, thank you. And I'm going to pop you an email when we get off the phone, so stay tuned.
I sure will.
Okay, thanks so much, Lisa. And everyone, thank you so much for being on the call and listening in via webcast and phone. Until next time, everyone have a wonderful night.